Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
You heard the man. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. We wish you that every Thursday because that's how that goes. I don't know why I explained that, but now I'm caught in the loop. That's John Lopez.
I can't stop myself.
Here. I know. It's one of those things. Do you guys find yourselves in those circumstances where you're like, why am I still talking? Move on. Which is what we'll do here on this Thursday. Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you get involved with the program on the text line, 713-572-4610, and appreciation to the Mocarum Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. All right, so we are on our way to week four football. Must win, right, Fig?
Yeah.
Right, Lopez?
Mm-mm.
We can't get you there, huh?
Nope. It's not a must
technically
win.
It's not over.
Hey, now you got me talking like Adam Spillane.
That's right. Why did Adam Spillane have to get that? You didn't have to do that to him. All right. There's a lot of things happening today. We have a couple of people that we'll get on the phone. Obviously, Thursdays, we like talking to ND Kalu. We'll do that at 11:20. We'll also go behind enemy lines at 1 p.m., talk to Ron Slay out there in Nashville to get a little bit of an idea of what the vibe and the tone and the tenor of conversation is around this Tennessee Titans team. That'll be at 1. It's all week long. We've been giving away tickets to Cougars versus Texas Tech next week. We will do that again in the 12 o'clock hour. But we begin after yesterday. We finally got some practice. We got to hear from D'Amico. We got to hear from CJ. And there's some things. There's some notable things, especially because this was a wild week that brought the Houston Texans into the into the national media space. But not for nothing, the good. Obviously, CJ Gardner-Johnson no longer on the team. We got to hear D'Amico give us his explanation or whatever whatever we would like to call that, his response to the circumstance. In fact, I'd like to start here. This is how D'Amico, the head coach of the team, started his press availability yesterday, knowing what we needed to talk about right out the gate.
I know everyone saw the news where we released CeeDee, just wish CeeDee the best. Unfortunately, we just moved on. And for me, every decision I make is always in the best interest of our team. I felt this was the best decision for us to move forward. And so now we're here. We're on to the Titans.
Literally said on to the Titans.
Real Bill Bell. You love that.
Cincinnati.
Mr. New England South himself over here sitting across from me.
You didn't take note of that? On to the Titans.
That first thing I think a lot of people took from that.
Yeah. It was a little bizarre the way he handled it because, one thing about D'Amico, he will talk about players and how they're progressing. He'll talk about the previous game. He'll talk about things that have happened on a pretty regular basis. But he didn't talk about this.
Now, you were surprised by that?
No, I was going to say.
Okay.
Now, obviously, some of it is understandable. They don't want to put all their dirty laundry, because it's dirty laundry. I mean, there's no question there is dirty laundry over there. They didn't want to put it all out there. So I do get it. But, boy, he just kept, shout out to the press corps there, which, kind of came back in different angles trying to get some sort of semblance of an answer.
All right, just for the sake of completion, here's some of that. This is the follow-up. Hey, wait, D'Amico, why did you think it was best for your team to make this move?
Yeah, because it's my decision to move on. I know it's best for my team.
Okay, there's another one.
All right, D'Amico. It seems like. Is there any more details you can give us on this?
Yeah, I'm not going to go into all the details of it. It was coming from me, the head coach. It's
my team, it was the best for our team. And that's why I made the decision. So I'm not going into any further details on it.
So, yeah, he's pretty staunch on, like, not getting too deep into that. But, I mean, he seems pretty clear. Like, he's going to follow that same MO mm-hmm. with how he handles things, which is he's, you know, going to handle it internally. They're not going to let handle this in mixed company necessarily.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that he very much got into Papa Bear mode with this, though. Like, this is my team. I know what's best for my team. And what I found even more interesting about this is that obviously it's still a day of practice and mm-hmm. you go into the locker room afterwards and you hear from CJ on the podium, but you also hear, I think Kalen Bullock was one of the most interesting ones because that is the safety mate mm-hmm. of CJ Gardner-Johnson in these circumstances. And both of them express seemingly a feeling of, well, I mean, if this is a decision that they made. In fact, I probably should have CJ's audio here. Mm-hmm. And which cut is this again? I'll have to pull it up. This is CJ Stroud being asked about CJ Gardner-Johnson. This is cut 3 here, Figgy. CJ, at what point did y'all realize, you all being the operative word here, that CJ Gardner-Johnson may not be a good fit for the team?
I don't really think I felt like that or the team. I mean, I think they have their own reasons, you know, Nick and D'Amico and you know, I think as a team, you know, we brought him in. And he was part of the locker room, and, you know, everybody was, you know, our whole team is close, you know. Like, we all hang out with one another pretty much. It's sometimes, like, it's defense, offense, or DBs, quarterbacks, like, whatever that would. I thought he did well with his DBs and everything, so that's not really, you know, my position to, you know, speak on that. You know, I like CD as a person. I think he's growing as a man. You know, he's trying to find a relationship with God, which I think is dope. So yeah, I wish him none but the best. And you know, I'm gonna always be here for him if he ever needs me. But yeah, I'm always gonna be a fan of him.
I don't think I felt that way or the team.
And then again, you have Kalen Bullock. I'll save you the audio here, but he basically was like, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a similar sentiment to CJ there where it's like, hey, they're going to make the decision. And I found that interesting. I don't know exactly what to make of that. What did you make of that, John?
Well, I you have to also realize CJ was choosing his words very carefully
there. Of course.
He was pausing.
Absolutely.
He was thinking. He was, you know, making sure he had the right word. So I think there's more to that, even though he did give us a lot in terms of I don't think I felt that way or the team. So at minimum, there is some level of disconnect between what the team believed and what management believed. And so what does that mean? I mean, it could mean any number of things. You know, maybe there was something altogether different that they made. They decided they needed to make a decision on CJ Gardner-Johnson. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was as simple as, I don't care what you guys think of him as a person on the field, as we've learned, you know, he's not doing the job that we need him to do. It could be any number of things, but at minimum, there's a difference of opinion in what the players think, according to CJ Stroud and Kalen Bullock, and what the management thinks.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, to me, what I got from it is it seemed like CJ kind of went off like, hey, I didn't have an issue with him, or our team, you know, didn't have it. I don't know if it was one person or maybe a couple people that had an issue that something happened. I ain't trying to do a reckless speculation, mm-hmm. but it seemed like something happened. That's kind of like if one person get into it with somebody here, and then it's like, hey, you know, we were cool. That's always going to be my guy, but, you know, the team decided to make it. I don't know if something like that happened where maybe it was just one situation or something where they felt like they had to make that decision, but it seemed like it wasn't like he was trying to throw anybody under the bus or anything.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you believe me to be wrong here. These answers that we got from like CJ and that we got mm-hmm. from Kalen, they didn't really feel to me like something that we see from time to time with this team, which is, okay, that's a company line.
Yeah.
Right? It 100%. Didn't feel like, hey, we had a meeting. Guys, you're going to be asked about this. Keep in mind, we don't want to, you know, let too much out in the media or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. it didn't feel quite like
that. It was not that, the company line.
Right? With CJ, I can easily see, especially with him being so big on his faith, mm-hmm. that being like the way that he responded being more of a lean towards, I'm still in the business of like, you know, dealing with
individuals.
But he said,
I didn't feel that way.
With people, right? Like, mm-hmm. It might have just been like, hey, CJ's a man first. I believe, you know, team stuff sideways.
Yeah.
But you're right. He also still kind of labeled that caveat. But I can imagine that coming from that place. And again, I'm not trying to say that Kalen doesn't have faith or whatever, mm-hmm. but that one felt like if there was going to be someone who was like, yeah, I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. He was like, they made the decision that made it, and it yeah. is what it is kind of feeling. And that kind of made me feel a little weird because, yeah, it might have been. And, of course, now I'm speculating because there was reporting that, you know, maybe C.J. Gardner-Johnson was, like, complaining about someone else getting their payment. That that sounds to me like Jalen Petrie in that secondary getting mm-hmm. that payment. It's reckless speculation, understood. But I'm like, this doesn't feel like a move that you make, especially as quickly as it seems like it happened when you have C.J. Gardner-Johnson on Monday mm-hmm. after the game saying, like, let's regroup. And then you end up on, what, Tuesday, Wednesday, and he is gone.
Yeah.
It doesn't, or Wednesday, rather, Tuesday, he's gone. It doesn't feel like that's like a, oh, well, this was building. And those answers don't feel like this was building, at least not in, like, interpersonal things, which would mean that this is all on the field, which all feels weird from the organization.
Well, on the field, but it also led me to think of this and tell me what you guys think of this. Keep in mind, not just the salary talk or some of what somebody's getting paid. There was also a real sense that C.J. Gardner-Johnson didn't like the way he was being used, the way they were playing defense in the secondary. That was very much part of this. So when I heard, you know, these players, and it was just two, but these players sort of say, nah, we didn't have a problem with him. I thought of this. What if they're on his side? What if they think, you know what? Because we all know this. What's a sure way to get fired in this world?
Mess with the money is the first thing I always say.
Well, the boss.
Sure.
Contradicting or going at the boss. What did C.J. Gardner-Johnson do? He went right at the boss. Both bosses. You know, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. Because he felt like they were doing it wrong. Like they need to use him in a different way. This is my strength. This is what I can do. What if his defensive teammates kind of said, yeah, we need to use him a different way?
It's possible. The thing that I was just fascinated at is that if the people that he had, personally wronged with these poor plays or these mm-hmm. going into business for yourself, Kalen Bullock is one of those.
No doubt.
That would have been the instance for him to even, like, show a little bit.
But I'm talking
of
bigger picture.
No, of course. Yeah. And so, like, I thought that would have been an instance for him to show a crack, and he didn't. Now, of course, mm-hmm. maybe that is just personal restraint. But that could lean to that. I don't know if I lean that way in a general, like,
well, I'm at, like, accounting what if?
Of it. But the
what
one,
if they're in that locker room going, man?
The what if of it.
It could be a thing where they like, man, maybe you do need to blitz more. I don't know why he ain't really using you that way mm-hmm. like they did in Philly or whatever it was.
Right, and that my ultimate where I was going to come to and meet you with your point is if that's the case, which, again, mm-hmm. is a big if, that actually creates a little bit of separation between, as you mentioned, the coach and the belief of the players.
Yes.
And belief is what you need more than anything when you're getting out here playing the car crash sport. I don't know that that's the case, but the idea of way this played, it felt like it was further mm-hmm. away from what I imagined the responses would be when we got some answers from some players. So I that was super interesting to get yesterday. Obviously, mm-hmm. look, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to prove it on Sunday versus the Titans. Whether you win or lose on the field is ultimately the big thing, but it was a very odd circumstance there with the Texans. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the Astros. Is the run over? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about whatever that was last night next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Did the bath salts, or not bath salts, the smelling salts, is that when everything went bad? Is that, did we
start it all?
Was it bad juju? Do we need to sage the studio? Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We were just talking about, trying to finally put the final touches on C.J. Gardner-Johnson thing, because at some point, like, this team, they say they're moving on to the Titans, we probably need to move on just generally. But the way the conversations that were had were just kind of odd. Like, again, someone said on the text line, and again, 713-572-4610, first of all, come on, guys, you truly think the players were going to say, yes, he needed to go? No. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying, but there was,
but they could say something else.
The thing is, you've seen players be very generic when it comes to stuff like that, saying, the team decision and wish them the best and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem generic the way they put it.
Yeah, it was like, I thought that there's still room for you to acknowledge and still say, hey, you know, no hard feelings to that, but, you know, obviously it is what it is. We moving on, what have you. It didn't feel quite like that. I thought that there was still room between acknowledging that there might have been something happening there and just completely being, it's almost seeming like, yeah, no, they made that decision, and then we're just rocking with whatever they do.
It really seemed like two friends that got into it, and the person that's in the middle is like, man, you know, I'm cool with everybody at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know, I ain't got an issue with them or anything. So that's what it kind of came across.
Mm-hmm. And we might be wise citizens on YouTube. We might be reading too much into it. It felt odd in that way. I will say, though, and we'll circle back around to CJ and this offense, which, again, has been obscured by all these conversations. The offense is still something that needs to progress in a large way if you want to win against the Tennessee Titans or anything else going further. So we'll get into that. But CJ also just sounded more human than he has recently.
You texted that.
In his press conference availability. And we'll get to that later, because that one hit me in a particular way. Something that felt very inhuman for me last night was watching the Astros. Like, it just... It drained the life out of me, Lopez. Like, it very much did hit me that, okay, this thing is a wrap. Was that also how you felt watching the Astros lose 6-0 last night?
Well, they were checked out. You know, it's the worst thing you can say about an athlete or a team. They quit. That looked like a team that quit. That looked like a team that was lifeless and checked out.
They kind of playing like a team. They kind of playing like the Rockies at this point, where they know it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Probably got the, as you like to say, Lopez, the clubs in the trunk.
Yeah,
ready for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dog, y'all one game out of the wild card.
There was nothing about that game, Reggie, that looked like this was a team.
No urgency,
engaged, urgency. Yeah, you know, fighting, passionate. They were lifeless.
And that one felt like a game where this should have been probably your best shot.
Probably.
Right, you got Hunter Brown on the mound.
Dude, Luis Severino?
Yeah, Luis Severino is not a good pitcher.
The worst pitcher in baseball.
Coming in with
right
a terrible ERA, and you didn't put up, not run the first against them. I mean, one of the things that keeps sticking with me, and it isn't the biggest thing, but it's the thing that keeps sticking with me, is just I see Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah.
I had him in my dreams legitimately last night, because I'm seeing him look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back and looking at like Marlins fans, and they're like, I promise he was a good player earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, because he was a good player earlier this year. And I'm seeing him in, you know, damn near what, game 157. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he looks like a bad baseball player. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking about, you know, terrible at the plate, making just little league type errors in the outfield. I'm like, this whole team has brought the level of play down for guys that even just outside of the ecosystem of the Astros, we've seen him be a good player this year. You acquired him, and that was a big old L at this point from the acquisition standpoint. And that's what it feels like. That's a small microcosm of just the way that the season has gone. The overachieving that they were able to do at times when they were, you know, making a little bit of something out of nothing, that is far from here. And I think that for me is why I join you in the, I don't think I want to see them play in the postseason, because where do they find the additional level of play?
I mean, maybe they can flip a switch, but we've said that a few times already this year. And by the way, we didn't even mention official as of last night, they're not going to win the division. The Seattle Mariners clinched it. It hurt to see and hear. Do you have it, Figgy? Let's go.
Here comes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Comes the 1-2.
Ball game! The Mariners win! Seattle, you've waited long enough. It's time to party like it's 2001.
You could have waited longer.
The Mariners are the 2025 American League West champions.
That doesn't even sound right.
That doesn't even sound right. But this is why
I didn't realize it was since 2001. Like, they literally had to go back
Let's
to
look up the lineup.
A historic season.
Look at their lineup from 2001.
Well, I know Ichiro Suzuki was on that team. I think he was a rookie, and well, an MLB rookie. That's how long it was. That's how long ago it was. But here's the reason I wanted.
Was Randy Johnson on that team?
Probably.
Oh, wow. Mark McLemore was on that team.
Yeah, 2001.
Edgar Martinez, obviously. David Bell, Al Martin, Mike Cameron on that
Mike
team.
Mike Cameron.
Yeah.
Pitching wise, you
Pat
had.
Pat Borders pitched against guys like, you know, Rusty Staub and stuff like that.
You had an age 38 Jamie Moyer who was still 10 years from retirement.
Yeah.
Damn. Not playing. But, no, yeah, that's forever ago and literally, you know, a historic team. You're going dating back that. But, yeah, man, this.
But the reason I wanted to, yeah. I wanted to share that and it hurt so much is because I wanted to, you know, you always talk about juxtaposing this with that. Okay, juxtapose what you saw in the Astros last night with what you saw in the Mariners. Well, it was very familiar looking. It just wasn't Astros uniforms. It was Mariners uniforms.
Well, the first thing is that they hit the crap out of the baseball. I mean, you had Cal Raleigh hit home run number 60. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I saw a home run from the Astros. Like, I legitimately am trying to think back. What was it? Mm-hmm. Of course, joking wise, but still, like, you have not seen the frequency with which the Mariners hit home runs. That used to be the Astros. Like, there used to be genuine fear that you would send, that balls would be crushed.
Yeah.
Now you're like, eh, they might hit a single.
But the energy, the excitement, the clutchness of it all. You know, Cal Raleigh, but the whole lineup, the pitching. I mean, they went back to back, the Mariners, with just nails on the mound. And I'm looking at the Astros and I'm like, what the hell happened, man? How are we here so quickly? We knew there was, we talked about it in spring training, you know, that this might be a team, you know, sort of taking a step back. Dude, it's over. This is an aging team with no real pitching that you can rely on. Fromber's gone. Luis Garcia's gone another year. We'll get to that, of course.
To be honest, that didn't help either, right? Because I imagine once the realization sets in, if it does set in for you, that this is over, as with any sport, right? Like, hope springs eternal, because once one season is over, there's another one coming, and you go, all right, so what do you do to get ready for the next one? And there's some tough questions that the Astros have to ask themselves, and there's some questions that I don't see easy answers to, right? Because
with the manager.
Manager is a question.
Yeah.
Manager is absolutely one that you have to ask about. And then I know when you talk about coaching staff, there's, you know, people have been talking about batting coach for a long
medical
time.
Medical staff.
Training
staff.
Actually, that is one B, one C.
Yeah.
That has to be addressed because that's not just a this season thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last few seasons, and it has hampered you, right? Like, are you in the wild card if you handle at least one or two injuries different?
Oh, for sure.
You're not in the wild card. You don't even have to see the Tigers in that
situation.
How about
you don't start the season with an injured Yordan? Let him get healthy first before you trot him out there for however many games it was, and he just aggravates the injury. You can talk about the manager, the athletic and training staff, the medical staff, the general manager, for goodness sakes. Remember during spring training? During spring training, before they played one game, we were saying, boy, they really need to add some pitching. They really need to add some pitching. Didn't add pitching.
Do you trust them to rebuild?
That's what I'm saying. Tough questions.
Okay.
You know, Dana.
These are questions that we'll have to be asking ourselves relatively soon, I imagine.
Obviously, Luis Garcia's gone. Fromber's gone. Lance McCullers. How are you feeling about Lance McCullers?
I think I need to stop feeling about Lance McCullers is honestly the answer here.
I mean, it's what are you going to do with, you know, at third base with Altuve? You know, all this thing about he's going to play some left field, that went out the window, and he's doing a lot of DH and second base and everything else. Altuve's going to be, what, 38? There's a lot of stuff happening, and it came at you fast.
Yeah, it sure did. But I think the big thing for me, and honestly, this is a question that was asked of Ocho, or asked by Ocho rather, on the text line that I'm going to turn to you, Lopez. Are we sure the Astros quit, or are they just this bad? And the question I ask you is, which is worse? Which is better?
You know they were not a great team at the end of the year. But the last two games, I think, I mean, it's clear. You know, they're just out. You know, it's both, basically, is the answer.
Which is probably the worst of all of it. And I don't even know if I can be too mad at them when all things considered, because they've had to struggle through a lot. But it does. You know what? Actually, that's BS. I can be mad at them because you had the opportunity. You still had a lead in the AL West as recently as what, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
You still had a lead. You still had a path even once you gave up that lead. Mm-hmm. And you just needed to give me a little something. And I mean, you have.
And now in four games, they have to be two games better than the Tigers. Which is not a huge ask
at
this point.
They're in a free fall, and you still aren't sure about that.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part of it. And that's why I think this is over, like, all things considered. We'll see what continually happens with the Astros. It's Framber Valdez on the mound today. Does that give you any confidence? You're in the loop here on Sports Radio.
I just want to see how he go out.
This is last game as an Astro, potentially.
Yeah, I just want to see. Is he trying to make a good game and maybe get a bigger contract, a little money?
What if he goes full rogue and just starts bleeping everybody and...
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what if he goes full rogue and gives you like seven stellar innings?
Like he knows he's out.
Seven innings, 12 strikeouts.
He points at the dugout at Joe Spada. You don't know what the hell you're doing. He points at the outfielders, tells him to move over.
And then he doesn't walk into the dugout. He just climbs into the stands and walks out of the building.
Yeah.
Throws a pitch at the catcher's face mask.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 from the 281. Man, quit whining. They gave you almost a decade of some of the best baseball we've ever seen. Everything comes to an end. All right.
Funny you should ask.
I hear you there. So let's go to our question of the day next. If the run is indeed over, what memory is going to stick with you forever from this run? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next. All right, question of the day. What is the resounding memory that will stick with you forever from this Astros run? 713-572-4610. Very few people with their favorite sports team, with any other sports teams, gets a run like the Astros have seemingly put up, or not seemingly, they have put up, that whether or not this is the tail end of this portion of it and whether they go into a retool or a rebuild or whatever other words you want to use, there's a lot. There's a lot to reminisce on.
This is going to be one of those feel-good sort of nostalgic things because there's so many to pick from.
And I do wonder how many people will go with like a feel-good answer as opposed to something else. Because again,
and some of them are that way.
The resounding memory does not inherently have to be one that is good, although there's been so much good that I imagine that the first few ones that should come up for you are probably good ones if you are indeed an Astros fan.
8 straight postseason appearances, 7 straight ALCS, 4 World Championship appearances, World Series appearances, 2 World Series championships. And when I asked this question of myself, I said, self, what are the lasting memories?
What's yourself say?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Two immediately came to mind. The one it wasn't even like in the moment. Obviously, we're all watching when they're in LA and they clinch it in 2017. It was obviously, you know, exhilarating and happy. And you know, I actually tuned in. Paul Gallant was broadcasting all night. We had champagne. He was getting drunk on the air and everything else. It wasn't even really that. The first one that came into mind is that picture, man. That picture taken by Steve Gonzalez of the Chronicle and I looked up their names, Jim and Jennifer Dean. You guys know what picture I'm talking about. Right after Harvey, that we're still recovering. Their house is gutted. I'm guessing it's their family room or living room or something. Wires hanging from the ceiling. There's insulation, you know, on the walls, bare bones, you know, obviously the framing is still showing and they're in lawn chairs, but he connected his damn TV and he's got his hands on his head like, I can't believe this finally happened. And she's got her hands down crying. And I'm just like, that right there, that was everything about 2017 and the World Series that in one picture. That was the first one I thought of. The second one tied in with what Sean was saying earlier. He said he was at his house watching it on TV in 2022. Yordan hits his home run, and he says, like, we got to get down to Little Woodrow's because we were going to broadcast through the night into the morning at Little Woodrow's if the Astros won the World Series Game 6. Well, I've mentioned this in the past. You know, that's a special memory for me because I was at that game. I was at Minute Maid Park. We were sitting in right field. Yordan's home run landed to our right. Obviously, Tucker making the clinching catch was kind of in front of us down the foul line. And that was great. But the memory that I immediately thought of is like, we had to go. You know, I had to go to Little Woodrow's.
A little bit less of a commute for you.
We had to walk.
Yeah.
Because the street,
which honestly was probably more difficult.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, I remember walking and the streets were just flooded with people. Like sometimes you had to even turn to the side and you're walking down the middle of the street. It was so crowded. You had to turn to the side to get through people because we were walking kind of fast. That's it. Just like the exhilaration and the people going nuts. They wanted here in Houston. And the other thing that I remember, and I think I talked about it during the show and then the days that followed, the entire downtown area was a cloud of weed smoke. I think we all got contact high. Like, everyone was smoking weed downtown.
They're like, we have the high of a wind. We're high on life. Up. We want to be high on something else right now.
My
as well.
Wife was like, that's strong. I was like, yeah, it is.
Hey, they won. We about to blaze up.
Everybody did. And cops everywhere not caring. It was just an incredible scene.
Yeah, it's funny because I wasn't going to make it about myself, and then Sean was talking about that experience of like 2022 and, you know, realizing they needed to get to downtown. Funny enough, and of course, I'm still working up in Dallas at this point, but for some reason that day I was coming down to Houston to spend time with my family. Mm-hmm. And so I vividly remember I was on 45 about to make my turn onto 10, and I hear the final catch on the, I think it was like ESPN Radiohead at that moment. And I hear the final catch, and it was just something within me that felt so special about not just taking this in, but taking this in within city limits. Even though I wasn't at Minute Maid Park, I wasn't in Edo, I wasn't like a part of the celebration, but something within me felt special about I get to be in the city as it's happening, as they're doing this thing where not only is it the 17 where there's the feeling of validation of, oh, wow, we've overcome this long stretch of time where we were in the wilderness and we finally made it to the promised land. This was also like, now that promised land breakthrough has been discredited, right? And you had 19, which fell through. And finally, you have 22 to say, hey, all these people that doubted what this team is and how good this team is, even in the face of it clearly being good year over year, hold this championship. Mm-hmm. And I love being able to be in this city, even if I was just in the car, driving on a highway, not a part of like all the festivities, being here for that felt incredible.
Yeah, I actually have a personal memory. This was 2017, and remind you, I moved down here in 2016, and I was running the board. That's when our studios was on the opposite side right over there, and I was doing the night show. I think it was Sean Bajani was working. I can't remember who he was working. It might have been somebody like Jeremy Brandon or something, but I remember they actually clinched to go to the World Series, I want to say. It was a big game, and they won, and everybody was kind of celebrating. People was calling in, and I'm over here. I'm a young buck on the board. I'm picking up the phones, and somebody called in and said, hey, it's Shane Leckler. I want to talk about the Astros.
How about that?
I kind of got stuck because obviously I knew who he was, but I didn't expect – I wasn't sure if it was somebody joking around. Or just trying to play a trick. And I'm like, Shane? He's like, yeah, for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
And like, do you watch the Texans? Do you watch football? He was like, do you watch football? I'm like, yeah. But it just kind of.
I do love that Shane was like, clearly you should believe me, even though I just said I'm Shane Leckler, and that happens all the time.
Yeah, he was just like, do you watch football? And I'm like, yeah, but it caught me off of guard because I was not as, I was expecting to hear Joe in Conroe or something, but it was Shane. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, just that moment, and I told Sean Bajani, I got in his ear like, hey, Shane Leckler on the phone. He was just like, what? And so he was just super excited about the Astros getting to the World Series.
He wanted to get in. That's Houston, man.
That was the, and I appreciate him just
being himself, like calling in like everybody else.
He could have called in to the other stage. He called in to 610 to talk about the Astros.
My daughter was born the day we won the World Series, says the 409. That's a special one. But not all of them are good, because the third memory that immediately pops into mind is just how miserable and mad I was.
Was it 19?
In 19.
Yeah.
First of all, we know what happened at the end of the game, and A.J. Hinch, and throwing guys out there that didn't deserve to be out there.
Who was it, Will Harris?
Will Harris. But then Garrett Cole, like within 2 minutes of getting into the clubhouse, takes his
jersey off,
his hat off, puts another hat on, says, "I'm a representative of myself." Get the hell out of here. Talk about reading the room, man.
His street cred over here went out the window, man.
Overnight.
Because that dude was the best pitcher in baseball.
Without question.
Yes.
He was nailed.
And just all of that. Like, I felt like he had no issues in this city at all.
He was loved.
But once he put that hat on, it was over. Honestly, to this day.
Even if he goes, but goes in a different way.
Yeah.
You're still good.
He would still
hood,
be
man.
A legend, man. Yeah. And we'd probably feel sorry for him, because we were trying to say how A.J. Hinch should have used him out the bullpen during that time. And all of that went out the window because he put that hat on.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, the general feel, like that in particular, I feel you. The general feeling of 19 was frustrating, though. Because and maybe that becomes even clearer as you near, if not reach, the end of the particular run that we looked at. Because it felt like, oh, you had the opportunity to be undeniable by having 19 in tow, right? Having three as opposed to the two, would have felt somewhat different, to be fair. Somebody said, shout out to Ron texting in, when Altuve couldn't throw the first for 2 weeks comes up. Obviously, the big one, someone said trash cans, and then someone else, tied to that, somebody said, Mike the Rat Fires. Like,
yeah.
That can't be, taken away from all this, because, again, that changes the way that all these things are viewed.
Mm-hmm. No, and the other thing about 2019 that comes up, that might have been one of the greatest baseball teams in history. They won 107 games.
Look at that rotation.
Justin Verlander.
Check.
21-6. Garrett Cole, 20-5. Let's see.
You could just stop right there.
Yeah, that two right there.
I mean,
that's 40 wins right there.
That's 41 wins between two pitchers. Of course, they just kept. And Ryan Pressly was closing.
It was incredible.
They had Greinke.
They had Zach Greinke, who came in late and went 8-1. I mean, they had Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Greinke, and they won 107 games and didn't win the World Series.
Man,
good gracious.
So. And I mean, there's a lot of people for whom, obviously, outside of just individual instances, they're talking about the feelings that they've had and that the Astros have given them. And so I felt like it would lean more to the positive and wanted to get some of those feelings, because somebody's like, oh, talking like it's at a funeral. They're a game and a half out of the playoffs. At least they're not the Rockies. The season's not over. 4 games left. I hear you on that. But the way that I felt,
if you looking at these games now,
watching these last couple of games. One, I don't have confidence. I'm willing to say that flat out. You can hit me on the over the head with it here in a second, but you can ask these two gentlemen I'm sitting with. If there's one of the three of us who has had hope during the most of this, it has been me. Yeah. That is drained.
They're on the verge of getting swept by the A's, man.
Pardon me for trying to take a little hope or a little bit of happiness in this moment, thinking about what the Astros have done over this time period, and appreciate that. But that's what we tried to do. Keep those coming in if you have those moments, because I would like to explore that more. Hopefully we'll find an opportunity to do that. But coming up next here in the loop, let's go around the NFL, where we have Thursday Night Football tonight. And I want to get your feeling about some of these NFL players who have had slow starts. Who do you still have confidence in? We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, whenever it works for you.